Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be together this morning in person and virtually. And we are together.
Yes, we are.
Amen. Whether we are physically together, there's proof of that. How many times have we been going about our everyday and the Lord brings somebody to mind, one of you to mind, and or me to your mind? That's the uniting work of the Spirit that has put us together. So we are together today, and I'm thanking the Lord for that. I'm going to introduce this new our first song. Our first song is entitled "God Never Fails." And the first thing that comes to mind for me was, I start thinking about situations in my life that I'm still waiting on something that I want. And so when the song comes and the title is "God Never Fails," there's almost an objection that starts to come in, isn't there? And so, you know, what is he not failing at? And Psalms 57 says, verse 2 says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." He is not failing at his purpose for us. And his purposes for us will prevail. He purposed for us to come to know him. He gave us faith. And we can't get in our own way as far as his purpose is for us. Other people's plans for us can't succeed, right? So his purposes for us cannot and will not fail. Psalms 138:8 says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever." So, you know, those objections that instantly pop into our minds when we, you know, God never fails. Well, no. His purpose is for us. His purpose to conform us to the image of his son. That's not going to go away. And it's going to continue to manifest, right? So God never fails. And we're going to sing and rejoice with the worship team this morning.
Father God, thank you that you love us, that you died for us, that you're worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. We're going to praise you today.
Never failed.
He never failed.
Me. God,
never failed.
Never failed.
And that he
Worship team, thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Valley Brook Community's communion service? No. Welcome to Valley Brook this morning. We want to give a very special welcome to all of our first-time viewers and visitors. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here this morning. Those at home may click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card. Please take a few minutes to complete it and help us pray for you, as well as to notify you of future Valley Brook events. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the service. Speaking of streaming, we do have three options for viewing our Sunday service virtually. You can go to the website and click onto the streaming tab. You can connect directly to the stream via vbccstream.com, or you can go to our Facebook page at VBCC Online to connect. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab on our streaming tab on our website, and we will be happy to lift you up. Also, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for our Power Hour of Prayer. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage, as well as in today's bulletin. Offering. For your convenience, you may contribute on our website through our giving tab, or you can mail your donation to our office address as listed on the back of the bulletin. You can access our bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about our Valley Brook happenings. You may also access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. Valley Brook Community Church is committed to providing a safe and healthy facility for our staff, members, and visitors. In light of the new developments with the COVID-19 pandemic, we must strive to help keep one another safe. So please take a look at today's bulletin to see how we can help one another during these times. Easter lilies. Would you like to honor your loved one with an Easter lily? Please stop by the information table in the lobby this morning and place your order. Now, you may also order those lilies online. So just check your email from vbcc.official and fill out the form attached. Your sentiment will be placed in a special Easter bulletin, and your loved ones' names will be read aloud during the service. The cost is $12 per lily. The Valley Brook Audio Video Ministry is looking for volunteers to join the team to assist with the Sunday production. Opportunities are available with either the audio or video side of the production, or both, if you feel so inclined. No experience is necessary and training will be provided. Yeah. Elder Michael just said, yeah. So please connect Marlo Barnes for details if you are interested. Thank you. Outreach Ministry. Because of your generosity, VBCC's outreach continues to expand. Please see the insert in today's bulletin that details what the church is doing to increase our help for the homeless, along with a new effort that starts next week, contributing to Howard County's food bank twice a month. And I kind of read ahead. I'm really excited because there's a place for teens, I'm looking at Jayla, teens to get community service hours. So check that out. It's exciting. All right. So check this out. It's April birthday time. All right. Do we have some birthday music? We've got quite a few birthdays, starting with an April Fool's baby. And that is George Brown III. Happy birthday, George Brown. April 5th, we have Jeannie Broadmax. Happy birthday, Jeannie. April 8th is our Shanaria Ashley. Happy birthday, Shanaria. April 8th, Israel, I hope I don't blow your name. It's Israel Taiwo. I hope I said that right. Happy birthday, Israel. Robin Weary is April 10th. Happy birthday, Robin. Brian Davis is April 11th. We have a Beku Abercrombie, April 12th. We have Mark Allen, April 13th. We have Marty Mayo, April 15th. Solomon Barnes, April 16th. We have Laverne Beatty, April 20th. Yay, happy birthday. And Jasmine Craig, I haven't seen her in so long. Jasmine Craig is April 29th. Happy birthday, Jasmine. Wow, what exciting for April. All right, here's a special announcement. Although not a birthday, we have a special day to acknowledge that April 1st marked Pastor Dan's 38th pastoral anniversary. Everybody's standing up, so we're standing up and looking at Pastor Dan. So please join me, well, we kind of did already, in wishing our beloved Pastor Dan a belated happy 38th pastoral anniversary. And maybe a decade or two or three. May he continue to bless us with pointing us to the person, the love, and the grace of Jesus Christ. So now we're going to receive Robert Craig, who will lead us in today's offertory prayer and scripture reading.
Good morning, family. 38 years. That's pastor. Fantastic. That's great. God has blessed us all so much through your service to him. We thank him and thank you. I'll be reading Psalm 34, 1 through 10. I do want to, as you're looking that up in either in a Bible or back in your, I almost said menu, I'm having trouble too, in your bulletin, I think maybe, how's that a little bit better? Pastor often starts our meetings, saying one day can be, or any day can be a one day. And have you ever had one of those days when the plans you set forth didn't come, or weren't God's plans for you. Yeah. Well, a few weeks back, I had a day planned. I had work to do, but I had to have my trailer in, so I had it all scheduled. I even had it there early. I was there before they opened the door, and expected it back that day. It was on a Tuesday, and didn't get it. Didn't get that call. Didn't make me happy. So I'm like, okay, you know, maybe they just need a little bit more time in the morning. So I waited in the morning, waited, and it didn't happen. And so finally I called them at 10:30. I was like, I need that today. So I call. They tell me, oh, it's ready. And he says, oh, Craig didn't call you? That didn't make me happy. So I get the trailer, go to the job that I had planned to be at, and I'm doing the work. And by this time, I'm much later than I had planned to be there. I would have been gone. And I begin with my plans. And so I'm almost finished loading and going to head out maybe within 5 minutes. And my customer and good friend, he shows up where I'm at and he calls my name. And I walk over to him and he's having a medical situation. And he won't let me call an ambulance. He doesn't think it's that bad. But he can't figure out what to do, and I'll not go into many details. And so we call his wife, and she says, well, let me call an ambulance. He's like, no, I want you home. And so she comes home, and I stayed with him. He wanted to take a shower, so I stayed in the hall in case there was any kind of an emergency, anything he needed. But I stayed with him, and they were able to get him what he needed and find out, and basically it wasn't a serious problem, but he was not himself for a short period of time. But had my plans gone the way according, I would have not been there. And so one day, any day can be that one day. And so that day God did something special for me, which goes right into Psalm 34, because this is a Psalm of David. And this is one day he pretended to be insane so the king wouldn't kill him, if I remember correctly. And so the king just threw him out and had him go on his own. And this is his psalm. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, woman, child who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Let's give thanks. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We give you all the glory and honor. We are grateful for your love for us. We are grateful that you chose us, that you set from the beginning of time, before anything started, when you and you alone made the plans that we would one day be your children, that we would one day be blessed by your hand, that we would one day be able to say, like David said, that we trust in you and we look to you for good things, because only good things come from you, and we give you the praise and we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, and we thank you. We could say that a billion times, it would never be enough. So we praise your name, we give you all glory and honor, and we thank you for the opportunity to give a little bit back, that your name may be known to others. And we give you the thanks for Jesus. Amen.
You said it. Can you help me stand?
I believe it. You stand. It is done. You stand. I believe.
I believe it.
You stand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Am I on?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Now I'm on. I can feel it. Great. Praise the Lord. And let's give him a hand again for just who he is. Amen. I tell you, boy, and Ronnie, thank you for that song. I mean, you put those lyrics and that music in Ronnie's wheelhouse and watch out. That's a powerful praise combination going on there, boy. But that's wonderful. We want to say hello to our first-time visitor, Clinton Scott. And for those of you who don't get the joke, Clinton is a member. He's been a member for a long time, but I haven't seen him in like 3 years. So he feels like a first-time visitor, so it's good to have you here, Clinton, and everybody else who's here this morning. So good to see all of you, and so good to be together, and those of you who are tuning in and viewing, it's good to be with you as well. As Grace was saying, we are all together, and I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for your encouragement, and I thank you for your phone calls and your texts about my pastoral anniversary. Was my 38th, and I told John Wesley, we were talking on the phone, I said, you know, I started to go to the gun range and get a 38 and shoot it 38 times and keep the 38th shell, which I did on my 38th birthday, but I decided not to. So, but it's a wonderful thing. It is a blessing, and I thank you all for just making so many of those 38 years such a joy. A true joy. This month, we're talking about celebrating Jesus as we move towards Easter Sunday. One day is not enough. So we are committing this whole month to specifically celebrating Jesus. And this morning's message is titled, The Gift the Lord Loves to Receive. The Gift the Lord loves to receive. So let's take a moment and let's commit the time to him and ask him to open our hearts to receive what he has for each one of us individually. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us. The precious gift of your presence indwelling us to reveal to us your truth as your word says, living in us to tailor that truth to each of our needs and to each of our situations. We thank you that you are our counselor and our teacher and our comforter, and you are placed inside of us by the Father's will, so that we might freely understand or understand what you have freely given us. So, Lord, what do you have for us today as we explore this subject of the gift that you love to receive? We ask that you make it real for us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I actually have just a few words this morning, but who knows how long it'll take for me to give them to you. So that's the difference. Always got to give yourself an out, you know. But this past Friday, I want to start with the Just a Moment piece that I wrote this past Friday, which many of you probably read, and I'm sure that many of you did not have a chance to read yet. But I want to start it because it fits in with this morning's message so well. Today marks 38 years for me serving as a pastor. I certainly didn't see this coming when I set my sights on college and a career afterwards. But God had other plans for me, and he won. So I'd like to take just a moment to share with you what is perhaps the most important thing that I have learned over all those years. No matter what knowledge I have acquired, no matter how deep my convictions and beliefs, or how passionate, no matter what experience I have gained, no matter how strong my commitment, I will always need the Lord just as much as I did the very first day I came to know him, which was more than 38 years ago. But I will need him just as much always as I did the very first day I came to know him. I need him in this moment as much as I did when I began my pastoral journey 38 years ago. I need him to remind me of what I know. I need him to make his truth fresh, to make it living bread and not just stale platitudes. I need him for the wisdom and the inspiration to apply what I know. I need him to show me how little all I know actually is, and how much more there is to what I think I already know. I am perfectly fine with this reality. Sometimes, you know, earlier in my journey, I hoped that one day I would just get it, and it would just be me, and I would just be able to do it, and I would have it. And that I would just be able to hold on to that thing and draw from it whenever I wanted to. And I would never forget these truths. Someone would share something at a message, and I would say, oh boy, I've got it now. This is really the formula. This is really the secret. Now I got it figured out. So I always hoped that I would be able to get past having to be reminded. But today, I'm perfectly fine with this reality. In fact, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because even though I am always going to need him, I'm always going to have him. And so therefore, I don't stand at risk of not having what I need. Because I will always have him. He will always be with me and in me. And as he has faithfully done for 38 years, I am totally confident that my God shall continue to supply all my needs according to his unsearchable riches in Christ Jesus. You see, the combination of my neediness and my deficits and my inadequacies, the combination of my neediness And his faithfulness is the DNA of the priceless relationship that I have with him today. That's what makes the relationship what it is. It's the DNA of the intimacy that I enjoy with him, the neediness that I have, combined with the faithfulness that he brings, equals intimacy. That's something I'm taking the moments of today to consider. And I'm also going to take the liberty this morning to consider them with you. The text that I'd like you to turn to me with is 1 Thessalonians 5. And I would like you to turn here, even though I'm only going to mention 6 or 7 words. However many there are, I didn't count them. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 18 as we look at this subject. The gift the Lord loves to receive. I talked about the familiar things that I already know and how much more there is to those familiar things. This is one of those verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." As I said today, that's it. You can stop. Keep your hand there, though, because I want you to keep your mind focused on that phrase as we go through this morning's message. That truth. Because as I said, that's one of those familiar things that I know, but there's always more to what I think I know than what I know. This was one of the very first verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, that I put to music as a young believer. I put it to my guitar music. I was just singing it because I thought, this is it. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But there is so much more to it than I knew back then. And there's so much more to it than I know right now. You have not heard a message that I've given. You have not read anything that I have written. You have not had a spiritual conversation with me of any nature over the past several years that have not been heavily influenced, and sometimes directly, content directly from the specific time of thanksgiving that I set apart each day with the Lord. There has not been anything that you've received from me in by way of a spiritual contribution that has not been heavily influenced, or perhaps sometimes direct content from the specific time that I set aside for thanksgiving with the Lord. The Lord has expanded my view of so many things, of communion. What I thought I knew about communion has expanded as the Lord has blessed a time of simple thanksgiving with him. Simple thanksgiving. What I know about love has expanded. What I know about discipleship, what I believe about commitment and being a man of God, and what that looks like and what it means, heavily influenced by this little verse that we all know and we're all familiar with, and that if it was in a room, if it was in a boardroom with a bunch of other spiritual ideas, it would not be thought of as the smartest person in the room. Because there are heavier notions to consider than give thanks. But I can tell you standing here that nothing has influenced my life more than this. Not just the spiritual areas, but every other practical area of my life has been influenced by these words here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, the title for this morning's message comes from Psalm 100, where it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so I was thinking about how, you know, when you visit someone's home for the first time and you take a little gift with you, you know, this is for you. Well, I don't take it. My wife takes it. But, you know, I've never bought a gift for anybody's house. I'm sorry. If you invite me, make sure you invite my wife, because I'm not bringing no gift. Not that I don't want to, but I just don't think that way. But I've seen it done on TV. And I've also seen my wife do it. So I thought about this whole idea, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I imagine as we're moving into a new month, we're moving into the month of April, I'm saying, you know, why don't we take a little something for the Lord into this month that we can give to him, that we can be certain that he will like. Because some of the things that we take people, you know, I mean, thank you. And, you know, it'll never see the light of day again. But the reason why I titled today's title, The Gift the Lord Loves to Receive, is because we don't have to wonder whether he likes it or not. You know, so much in life is unclear. So much in the scriptures sometimes can be unclear. It can be cloudy. It can be cluttered. It can be opaque. But giving thanks is clear. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we want to follow it as consistently as we can. So this month, as we celebrate him, we don't want to overlook the obvious. If someone says, I really want this for my birthday, and you walk away and say, I wonder what I should get them for their birthday. You're going through magazines and calling up friends, going through their closet, looking in their drawers. I really like this. Well, this is something we know is God's will for us. Sometimes we're praying about things. Lord, what is your will for me in this moment? What is your will for me tomorrow? It seems so big and so confusing, and sometimes you can't get handles on it. But I love this verse because of its simplicity and its clarity. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Simple. Simple. So I want to share several things about this very familiar verse and this idea that I am sure some of you are sitting there listening, thinking, okay, I got that. I know that. I'm done. I'm ready. There is more to it than we realize. And I hope that as we go through some of these points that I want to make, you will recognize the opportunity for expansion, not condemnation, not judgment, but you would recognize the opportunity for expansion and the ability to be able to take this verse into your own private time with the Lord and many other verses like it and see your relationship with him blossom, because that's why he says it. As you'll see, it's not because it's a gift that we give to him, but as you'll see, it's a benefit that we bless ourselves with. So the first thing I want you to know is this. Sometimes it's not that we don't have thanks to give. It's just that we don't give thanks. It's not that we don't have thanks in our heart to give, or things for which we want to give thanks. We just don't get around to doing it. I mean, it's not like we're withholding it. We're just forgetting to give it. Perhaps a thought comes in our mind and we say, oh, the Lord knows I'm thankful. Yeah, but that's like saying, my wife knows I love her. She knows it. There's something about expressing it. There's something about saying it. There's something about being intentional about it, even if you don't use words. You see, Jesus knew the Father knew He was thankful. But on the night that he was betrayed, it says he gave thanks. He gave thanks. It wasn't just for the example of the disciples. It's because of the spiritual dynamic that was taking place as he was giving thanks with his Father. As we have experienced that spiritual dynamic that takes place when we give thanks. There's a benefit that's released when we actually do so. And as I said, it doesn't mean it always has to be verbal, just intentional. Just intentional. You may be in a crowded elevator or someplace, you know, where it may not be the best thing or the most appropriate thing or the most winsome thing for you to just yell out, "Thank you, Jesus." But you can be intentional. You can shout it in your heart and direct it to him. And the Spirit who intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words conveys our longings, our desires, and our thanks. So the Lord hears our wordless prayers too. You know, I would wager that most mental health and personal growth professionals, spiritual or secular, will affirm the value of being thankful, of giving thanks. And here's a sample. This quote by Tony Robbins: "When you're grateful, fear disappears and abundance appears." Or from Jim Rohn, I knew Jim Rohn. He was the motivational speaker who actually mentored Tony Robbins and other motivational speakers. He said, "Learn to be thankful for what you already have while you pursue all you want." He said, gratitude, this is Rhonda Byrne. She said, gratitude, she's the author of the book, The Secret. She says, gratitude will shift you to a higher frequency and you will attract much better things. Jack Canfield, who's the author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. Yes. You know that book. It's the sequel to Chicken Soup for the Soul. You thought I messed up, but I was thinking about book two. He says, gratitude is the single most important ingredient to living a successful and fulfilled life. Brené Brown says this, and she's the author of like 6 number one New York Times bestsellers. She says, "I don't have to chase extraordinary moments to find happiness. It's right in front of me if I'm paying attention and practicing gratitude." And last but not least, we have our own inimitable Oprah Winfrey. She says, "The more you praise and celebrate your life, the more there is in life to celebrate." Now, those are all wonderful ideas. But here's something I want to point out to you that is extremely important for us as the people of God. The people of God. And where there is a departure from the general thanksgiving and the general benefits that they are mentioning here, that somehow come from the universe and light up on us, certainly it's good for our mental health. From just a regular psychological perspective, what they're saying is absolutely true. But they cite the benefits, but they leave out an important element. And it's this question: to whom is our thanks to be directed? You see, just like faith, thanksgiving has to have an object. If I am giving thanks, to whom or to what am I giving thanks? Am I giving thanks to the tree? Am I giving thanks to the stars? Am I giving to whom am I giving thanks? We direct our thanksgiving to him. That's number two. Number one, sometimes it's not that we don't have thanks to give, we just don't give it. Number two is we direct our thanksgiving to him. It says, give thanks. Now, of course, we thank people and we thank others for doing stuff, but our ultimate thanks, our ultimate target, we recognize that even when others are doing for us, that it is coming from God, through them, to us. And so I'm not saying don't say thank you to people or just, you know, just bypass them and say thank God. I'm not going there. I'm just saying that ultimately we recognize all things come from him. So we direct our thanksgiving to him. It says, give thanks. And the Lord is the recipient of our thanksgiving. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, when you think about the Lord's love for us as displayed here in Easter, that we celebrate in Easter with the cross and his death and his resurrection. You know, the Lord did not, and don't take this the wrong way. You know, someone always takes something the wrong way, but don't take this the wrong way. And if you're taking it the wrong way, stop. Nothing wrong with it. Did you hear me say there's nothing wrong with what I'm about to say? There's nothing wrong with it. But the Lord did not ask us to give up anything for Lent. He didn't ask that. Remember I was talking about gifts? He didn't say, I really wish you would give up something for Lent. No, what he said is, I want you to give thanks. That's what I want. I want you to give thanks. And Psalm 69 tells us how his heart responds to this. Psalm 69, 30 through 31, it says, this is David, he says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox and more than a bull with all its horns and its hooves. More than that big sacrifice I really want to make. Thanksgiving will praise him more. Not thanksgiving as the prelude to the real prayer. Because sometimes that's how we treat thanksgiving. We treat it as the prelude to the real prayer. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Okay, now I'm over here. I'm going to just pray and spend most of my time and my energy and my focus on the request. And there's nothing wrong with asking God. He says ask. Nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about here is the blessing of thanksgiving. Spend some time. Focus there. Stay there. Don't look at it as just a polite intro to your prayer time. Why not make it the essence of your prayer time? Why not make it the centerpiece of your prayer time? Why not frame everything through the prism of thanksgiving, even my requests? Yes. Why not do that? Yes. You can ask the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving. Yes. With a spirit of thanksgiving. He says it will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. And three, we can overthink the Christian life, but we can never overthink Christ. We can overthink the Christian life, but we can never overthink Christ. was walking, taking my morning walk a little bit later on Friday. And as I was walking, a small funeral processional of three cars passed me. There was a hearse and three cars behind it. And I stopped. And I removed my hat. And I placed it over my heart. And I faced the road. And the older man who was driving the last car saw me. And he waved and he thanked me for that. And I thanked the Lord. I thanked the Lord for that moment. And I don't know how the Lord will use that. Don't have a clue. Maybe that man was, you know, thinking that, you know, the world is just going on and nobody cares. I don't know what that man might have been thinking. But in that moment, I gave thanks for the effect. Was that prompted by the Holy Spirit? Did the Holy Spirit say, Dan, stop in your tracks, take your hat off and put it over your heart and just allow that processional to go by with you showing some respect? I don't know. Maybe it was just the memory of how I felt when I was in the funeral car going to bury my father, and I saw kids playing basketball and life just going on. And I'm thinking, doesn't anybody know? Doesn't anybody care? My dad just died. And the world is just going on as though he never lived. I don't know. But whatever the source, we can never overthank God. I don't have to figure out why. I don't have to know why. All I can do is say, thank you, Lord, for that idea that showed somebody some love. Because I know you want me to be a loving person. I know that. Whether or not this was you prompting me or not, I don't know. But you know what? I can't overthank you. I cannot overthank you, because the scripture says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. The scripture says, in him we move and breathe and exist, and we have our being. It says he holds all things together. So the ability to be able to take my hat off and pause for a moment, that came from him. This morning I woke up and I said, thank you, Lord. I woke up. And I said, I woke up and my faculties are pretty much ready to serve me. Most of them. Some of them are still in bed. Some of them are over at the coffee pot. Some of them have gone on vacation and some of them have died. But whatever faculties are there to serve me, you awakened them. And you made sure they were working. I remember as Moses cautioned the Israelites when they were going into the promised land. He said, beware, lest when you get in there and your goods and your riches and increase, you say to yourself, my power has given me all this stuff. He says, no, you remember the Lord, because he's giving you power to do what you're doing. Number four, giving thanks is a practical step that we can take to move towards gratitude. See, giving thanks is an action. Gratitude is it's a state of the heart. It's a state of the spirit. And I don't know about you, but I can't make myself grateful. I don't know how to do. I haven't figured out how to do that. Just now I'm grateful. Haven't figured it out. I can give thanks, but I can't make myself grateful. But giving thanks is a practical step that takes us towards the road, takes us down the road towards gratitude and thankfulness. I think of it like this. Remember when Jesus turned the water into wine and he had the servants fill the pitchers, fill the jugs with water? See, to me, giving thanks is filling the jars with water and presenting them to Jesus for his touch to turn it into the wine of gratitude. To do the miracle of taking my conscious choice to give thanks. And to multiply it and to bless it and to enrich it and to turn it into something amazing. What are some areas that we can focus, where we can focus our thanksgiving? Not going to spend a lot of time here, but sometimes prompts can be helpful. You know, in everything, give thanks can be so big that it means nothing. It means everything, but it's so big that it winds up meaning nothing. In everything, give thanks. How about giving thanks for how he's building your relationship with him? You know, there's always going to be more you can be. And there's always going to be more you can do. And there's always going to be a spirituality out there that you would like to have. But why not spend some time giving thanks for how the Lord is building your relationship with him? How about giving thanks for how he has turned the curses in your life into blessings? How about taking some time to sit with that for a while? I mean, it's in here, but like I said, sometimes it's not that we don't have thanks to give, we don't give thanks. How about taking some time? You know, sometimes we don't know what to pray about, or sometimes we say, I prayed about it before, I prayed about it. Well, spend some time making thankfulness the focal point of your prayer life. Not just something you're doing on the way to other prayers. How about for how the Lord has preserved you? I mean, physically? We ain't all, listen, we know. Some of us in here know that we don't have to be here today. We know that. We know that it is only the grace of God that has preserved our lives physically, because a whole bunch of people who had what we had or experienced what we experienced have left this earth. I am very aware of the Lord's precious care in preserving my life. I remember I was working a construction job many years ago, and I've told this story, and I was chipping out ice out of the it had snowed, and there was ice and snow inside the frame of this home that was being built. And I'm chipping the ice away so they can continue to build, and I'm backing up, chipping, and I come to the edge here. I didn't know it was the edge, and it's like three stories down, and I'm standing right here on the back, and below me is a pile of debris, bricks and all kinds of construction materials, three stories down, and I'm just chipping, thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, praying or something. I'm chipping, and I'm backing up, and I just stopped because I got tired, and I did this, and I look back, and my heels are on the edge of the thing, of the structure. There's no wall here. It's just open space. And I don't know why I stopped. I have no idea why I stopped with my heels literally at the edge. If I had taken just a half a step more. And I looked down and almost took the half a step out of fear. Other things. I could tell you a whole bunch of my brother almost shot me in the head with a 38. Showing me its safety features. How about those times when the Lord revived your faith? How many times has he done that? Where you're in this dark place and you just think, oh Lord, I'm just stuck here. It'll never get better. The light will never shine again. Or I'm just dull. And somehow or another, you find yourself out of that place. And you know you didn't work it. All your working didn't do nothing. Your tricks didn't work. Your formulas didn't work. You called a friend and he didn't work. She didn't work. You went to bed and you woke up and you're in a different place. But perhaps the most important thing to focus on in terms of giving thanks is his faithfulness towards us in our present state of neediness. In our present state of neediness. This is the most fertile place for giving thanks. See, it's easier to give thanks. Not that we shouldn't. It's easier to give thanks when we're in a positive place. But where all the big nutrients are, I have to say it, we learn more. We learn more in adversity. And from adversity than we ever could learn from Easy Street. Now, God gives us Easy Street because we'd just die if all we ever had was adversity. And he gives us rich things to enjoy. But where we roll up our sleeves and where the work is really taking place and where the muscles are really being built and where the nutrients are really being assimilated is when you give thanks. When everything around you appears to be a thankless thing. And it's not something you like. And it's something you wish would go away with all your heart. And you find yourself in that Habakkuk place. Where he wished that there were figs. He wished that there were fruit. He wished that the land was bearing the fruit that he had labored for. But he said, even if there's none there, I'm still going to praise him and thank him. Acute neediness gives us greater awareness of his grace. The more acute our neediness, the more aware we can become of his grace. Because grace is given for one thing only, to meet human need. If there's no need, there's no need for grace. Grace exists for one reason, to meet human need. And so when Paul said, Lord, take this thing away, the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. In everything, give thanks means trusting him in everything that's happening around you, everything that's happening to you, in you, and through you. In other words, giving thanks for your life in all its details. And this is a practical way to internalize the truth within your spirit that your circumstances are neither unknown nor unaccounted for in God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that he uses every bit of life, the pleasant and the unpleasant, the dynamic and the benign, to deepen your experience of him and to accomplish, as Grace was saying earlier, his glorious purposes for you. Giving thanks leads us right back to rejoicing in him. And this time with even greater vigor, and the cycle begins again. So what have I learned about this? Oh, much. And I could keep on going, but I'm not. What I've learned to me, it's simple. If I want to get the most out of life, and I do, I am voracious about getting the most out of life. I am a go for all the gusto person. I want all that life has to offer. But I don't think that you get it by going after all that life has to offer. That's not how you get it. You see, all that life has to offer, you see, I think over there, if Jesus is the life, and he is, it's how you define life. I'm going for all life has to offer, but how are you defining life? You see, to me, I define life as the one who said, I am the life. Jesus said, I am the life. So I'm going for the life with all the gusto that I can. I want it. I know I've only got, every time I hear people, you only live once, I'm, amen. They got something else in mind. But I've got one person in mind. When I think about living it up, when I think about getting all you can and canning all you get, when I think about all those little phrases that talk about getting the most out of life, I'm thinking not about going out there and getting all of it. I'm not thinking about the stuff, because I've had enough stuff to know that life is not in the stuff. And Jesus said, even when you have an abundance, your life is not in the stuff. Stuff is great, but stuff ain't life. I want life, and I want all that life has to offer. And so if it is in Jesus, then I want to do everything in my power. It's logical to me. I want to do everything in my power to cultivate my relationship with him. Because he's the life. If you believe that, and giving thanks is one of the most practical ways, when we're intentional, when we're in his presence, one of the most practical ways of cultivating our relationship with him. And it is a surefire gift that we know that the Lord loves. It's a gift we give to God, but that pays dividends to us. It's one of the few things that we can directly give him. Directly. It goes directly to him. And like I said, we can overthink the Christian life, but we can't overthink the Lord. And I want to say this about that, because I know last week I talked about Jesus. Here's another example of overthinking. When I was talking about Jesus and I said, you know, that God was pleased to have his fullness in Jesus, and that the name above all name, that he is the heir of all things. And I know that that raised some questions for some about, wow, you know, who do I pray to? And I want to say this, don't overthink it. Because whether you pray to the Father, whether you pray to Jesus, whether you pray to the Holy Spirit, they are all one and they have no ego. It's not like the phone rings and the Holy Spirit says, who do you want, Jesus? It's for you. It's not like that. What name did you call the Father? Oh, Father! It ain't like that. They're one. And they have no ego. So with what remains of your day, just give thanks in everything, and the Lord will guide you. And I'm done. Do we have a final song? We have a final song in our benediction.
friend of God, he calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you for calling us friend. We want to thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be a part of the magnificent life that you are. And Lord, for choosing to be a part of our lives as we live them day by day. We are in you and you are in us. And we are one with you and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are a part of the family, and we thank you that we are not just friends, but we're beloved children. We've been adopted by you. We are fellow heirs with Christ. What an amazing thing you have done. And we ask that you would, by the power of your Spirit this week, Lord, and what remains of this day, that you'd fill us with a thankfulness that is not flesh-driven, but Spirit-directed. And we ask that you would just lubricate our intentions, Lord, so that our thanksgiving flows from sincere hearts. And we trust you, and we thank you. And now may the God of hope fill us all with joy and peace in believing, that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.